right. This is Jan Blodgett interviewing Frank Jordan on May 8th, 2016 on Town Day. So, Frank, let's start at the beginning. Did you grow up in Davidson? Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Mecklenburg County. But shortly after I was born, we moved to Iredell. That's where I was, high school in Iredell County. I was 2 years old, and then we moved to Iredell.
Okay. So what schools did you go to in Iredell?
Dunbar High School.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where is that? I don't even know where that is.
That's up there on Center Street in Mooresville.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then after high school, what did you do?
Well, what I done, I went off to work for Marita Bakery.
Okay.
No, let me back up. I started being a lead man at Asbestos, right over here, okay. That gray plant.
Okay, so the plant on Depot Street. And
right. I started off being a lead man there. And right after I left there, I went to Marita Bakery, and I was assistant shipping clerk. That was down on Trade Street in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I left there after 4 years. And I wanted to get a job close to home, so I started working at HQ.
Do you recognize her?
At Reeves.
Okay.
Did she have a Reeves?
Fomax.
Okay.
I spent 27 years in there. And while I was working there, I was partly doing my own business while I was working. I was working on second shift. And I had, at that time, I had like 27 I was a supervisor down there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so after, I stayed in there for a while, I went and took some business courses to start my own business.
So where did you take those, CPCC?
Central Piedmont.
Okay.
And so after I finished up doing that, I continued to work on it at Reeves, at Fomex. I continued to work there. And that, somehow or another, a union got in there. And after the union got in there, they had started cutting back. Telling me they're going to ship a lot of their plants to New Mexico, in which they did. And so I worked until it closed down. We had two plants. We had one in Cordes and one down the road about 2.5 miles. But I started one uptown in Cordes.
Okay.
That's why I was a supervisor there for 27 years. But after they closed that plant down, they transferred me down to the other plant that was still in operation. And where I worked there, about 3.5. And then they really just shaved down to little or nothing. And so what I done after I left from down there, I just went on off to doing my own business.
Okay.
So I used to have a garbage route when I was working on second shift. I had a garbage route.
Now, how does the garbage route work?
Very good, because I was picking up garbage. Right?
Just own your own truck?
Use my own truck out of the lake.
And you just contract with individuals to pick it up, or whole neighborhoods?
I just pick up the biggest part of Peninsula.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was picking up. But see, that business, and I've grown the capacity that I had, and I had to let someone else take it over.
Okay.
Which is Thurman Ross.
Okay.
He took it over. And so that was a blessing to me and to him as well. And so after I'd done that, I decided that, okay, when I was laid off down here, I was going off, started doing my old thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I have a commercial painting company too as well. I started a painting company shortly after I started the limousine business.
Okay.
The two of them, they're up running.
Mm-hmm.
They're fully established. And so I just enjoy doing what I'm doing, meeting people.
So I didn't know about the painting business. I knew about the limousine.
We have the commercial painting business. We do a lot of the new homes and do most of them. We do repaints. I like the repaints. Because when you start doing a new structure, you have to wait till John Doe finishes to get paid. Then you have to wait till Paul come do his part to get paid. And then you're on the end waiting for your money. And so it extended my money too long, and my employees that were working for me, they wanted their money weekly on Fridays. And so I had to figure out a way to do that.
Now, so what's the name of the company?
RJ Painting.
RJ Painting, okay.
Yeah. And so the limousine business, so I have guys work for me, you know, regularly. Mm-hmm. Terry Spring, you might know him. And I think you met my son, Stan.
Yeah,
Stan, he's another one. And then we have a couple of guys retired from the military. They drive for me too as well.
So how many, what kind, do you have cars?
Yeah, right
actual
now.
Actual limousines, what have you got?
Right now we have 9 vehicles in the limo fleet.
Okay.
And in the painting business, we have 2 trucks.
Okay.
That, you know, to take our supplies and ladders and all this and all that.
How do you find a limo?
Well, what happened when I was working at Reeves, we had it used to be everybody go to Freedom Park. You didn't have no place else to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're
African
American, you went to Freedom Park because that
Yeah. And so I ran up on a guy down there. He pulling in a black scratch limo. And I walked up to him. I said, "You know what? I'd like to do this someday." He said, "You can." I said, "Well, I bet the old thing costs a lot of money." He said, "Well, they're pretty expensive." And so we started talking. So I messed around and I talked to a funeral home up here in Mooresville. And I said to him, I said, "Will you be willing to sell some more cars when you finish with them?" He said, "Of course I will. I said, in fact, I'll sell you one now."
Whoa.
And so I bought it.
It was meant to be.
Yeah. And so I bought it. And then after I bought that one, it was an old funeral home car. Everybody's laughing when I pick them up because it didn't have the bar and the TV in it.
Oh, yeah.
But that was fine.
Yeah.
You know, you have to crawl before you walk.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
And so in doing that, I messed around and I borrowed some money and I went down to Atlanta, Georgia. They had a fleet down there and I bought a car. Then I flew to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I bought another car. And I bought most of the vans from around here off lots, like Ford Motor Company. We bought a lot of those vans from there. And so, like I said, right now, what we have 9 vehicles in the limo fleet and 2 in the painting business.
So how do people find you? You had 2 weddings.
We have a web.
You have a website? Okay.
We have a website. And plus, repeated business. Repeated business keeps me in business. Mm-hmm. I have guys I have had for 12, 13 years.
Yeah. You do the airport run, right?
Yeah, all the time.
Is that like your standard moneymaker?
Yeah.
Get people to the
airport?
That's
what we do.
Yeah.
We stay at the airport most, you know. I said 65% of the time we're at the airport. And then the painting business, it pretty much runs itself. You know, you go out, you get on the job, you get all the material, and then you come back and you tell the guys where they be working, this what you need. And I check on them, you know, during the day and see how well they come along, see if they need anything, and sees everything still safe and all this and that.
So how did you learn to bid on it? How do you figure out how much paint this room needs and that room?
Well, you go by the square footage.
Okay.
You figure, you know, 1 gallon to do 1 room. Mm-hmm. If it's not in too bad a shape, but if it's in bad shape, you're going to end up spending about 2 gallons in there because you're going to have 1 gallon of primer and then the other gallon of your finish coat. And then you run into a lot of sheetrock work. It's a really, really unique task when you start dealing with sheetrock because you have to. You have to fine tune that stuff. If you have bad places in it, defects, you have to sand it down, prime it, and then paint it. So there's a lot to a painting. Mm-hmm. More than a limousine. Limousine, you have a chance to meet all the celebrities. We have met them all. Over the 31 years I've been in business doing that, I have met them all.
Who have you met?
Man, you name them. The boxers and the dancers. Mm-hmm. Judges and the highway patrol, the preachers and the lawyers. We met them all. The wrestling, the boxing, football players, basketball players, baseball players. We met them all.
Now, when you started, were your customers mostly black or was it always a mix or did you build out? I mean, so how did that happen?
It was black right here in Davis.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I had to go down to Charlotte to get a permit in order to operate. Then after you get that permit, you have to go down and record it at the courthouse. Then after you record it at the courthouse, you have to come to Davidson and let the Davidson town zone you. Then you got to take that back to the zoning board in Charlotte. And then after you finish doing that, then you have to go down and record it at the tax place now. There's a lot to it. And like right now, we're regulated by the police department. We have to have those medallions in your cars in order to go in and out of Charlotte. In the airport, you have to have a particular sticker in order. Yeah, I mean, and then you have to have your car updated every year as far as having your inspection done through the city of Charlotte. You go to the police department, have all that done. Now, also, you have to go through another loophole at the airport. You have to go through their inspection with the vehicle. And along with that, we have to have a permit with your picture on it.
Yeah,
you have to have that at all times. And then they have fingerprinting to check your criminal record. They do all that stuff. You have to be drug tested. And it's good. It's good to have that protection because, you know, you're picking up a president or a high celebrity, and you want to make sure he's protected. You know, I mean, you don't want him getting up in your car. You have to have the right insurance. That insurance, they take us for a ride. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's very expensive. And in doing that, you know, my name got pretty much spread it out. And we also do a private school ride.
No.
We pick up school kids from Pine Lake right up the road here.
Oh, okay.
We used to go in and out of Charlotte Providence Day, each and every day out of Peninsula. We had a run down there to pick up kids every day.
Now, how did you get connected with that?
Just by taking people to the airport.
Oh,
they say,
okay.
Hey, would you like to have a school route? Would you be interested in a school route? Then it just, the word of mouth starts spreading like poison ivy, you know?
Mm-hmm. So this is pretty impressive that, you know, you've managed all of your own businesses, you've had these careers, and you keep going. Did you have people growing up that you saw did businesses? I mean, where does this drive to be your own boss?
I'll tell you, when I was rooted when I became a supervisor. I had the experience under my belt. And I said to myself, if I can do this for the next man, make him some money, I can make myself some money. And plus, while we were in management, we'd spend so many hours per year training in seminar, every year, and which was good. You know, the day and time that we live in now, I mean, hey, that's been very helpful to me. So, like I say, you know, they'll see you out, take somebody to the airport, and they say, hey, if you like to have a school ride, you call Paulette. And Paulette called Jane, and Jane will call Paul, and just keep going. But right now, we have 12 kids we pick up. We have had as high as 35. Yeah. We pick up off Brawler School Road out there at the Point.
Okay.
That's where we pick up at now. I had a call last week. They wanted me to pick up off of 150 down below Big Daddy. Which that's, you know, you're getting into a lot of traffic going down there.
Yeah, if you're on River Highway.
Yeah, you're getting into a lot of traffic. Yep. And I told them I have to think about that one. Yeah, we have to chew on that one a while and see how it's going to come out. But, you know, for the most part, when I started this business, we only had something like 6,000 residents here in Davis.
Right.
That's all we had.
Yeah.
But today, do the arithmetic.
I know. It was like 12,000. Cornelius has grown, and Huntersville is so much bigger.
And you're taking in River Run. I mean, you have a lot of residents here in Davis today. And I can say to anybody, you know, if you set your mind to do what you want to do, you can do it. But you got to put forth an effort and faith behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, faith without works is dead. So you have to put all that together and just put your hand to the plow, because some days it's not going to be easy now. You know, you have to expect that. And you have to roll with the punches. When they're good, you appreciate it. When they're bad, you still appreciate it.
Okay, so you live in Davidson?
Yeah, I've been in Davidson for 47 years.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about how Davidson has changed.
Well, the increase in the community has changed. The lake has really made Davidson famous. Davidson College. I mean, yeah, I used to pick up guys and say, Davidson, I don't know where Davidson is. Well, you know, they would say that. But now, they know. It seemed like the community has tightened a little bit together from what it used to be. You know, across the track, they seem to pull together a lot more than they used to. Because I can recall a time that you never had anyone come across the track unless they knew somebody that died or something.
Yeah.
But now, you know, We do services over there with the DCPC.
Right, you got the book club.
Yeah, and had a book club. And then we have covered dishes on the green. Mm-hmm. Then we use the with the congregation house here.
Yeah.
We use that. And so that has really brought us closer together. Yeah. Davis is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. I don't want to stay no place else. I love Davis. I mean, everybody that sees me get along. And you know, you're going to hear little bumps in the road once in a while. Somebody probably taking somebody's pocketbook or something like that. But other than that, the place to live, this is the place to be right here.
So do you remember, of course, you weren't here the whole time, but businesses on Main Street, so I mean, there were lots of barber shops, but there were other businesses in the community. Mm-hmm. There were Castella, Connor had a flower shop where the pizza place is.
Right.
Can you talk about some of the businesses or what's changed on the west side or what's been there?
Well, the west side, you don't have one thing for sure. Let me say this. The Ada Jenkins Center, I was a part of putting it together. Well, see, the thing about it, we had to organize a board for that school. Davis Presbyterian Church, USA, we leased that building through Reverend Sheridan. We leased it. And when the lease ran out, the town said, well, we're going to turn it back over to the county and let the county tear it down.
So, and I want to back up just 1 second, because not many people know about Reverend Shirley. So which church was he? And just give me a little bit about who Reverend Shirley was.
Davis Presbyterian USA.
Okay.
See, what he stepped up and he said, I see a vision at that place over there. He said, we can use, I tell you, I wish he were living today. He said, down the road, you're going to need that building. And sure enough, it has come to reality. What we've done, went in there and sanded the floors and painted and put windows in it.
Ripped out ceilings.
Lowered the ceiling. Took up about 6 inches of wax on the floor. Class was over there.
I was over there.
Know what I'm talking about. I mean, we had to do a lot of hard work, but we pulled it together. And when I ride by that place today, I feel chills because I see so many people there. It makes me feel like we accomplished something, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're doing something like that, that makes a lot of difference to the community and all the other churches here, because everybody uses it now.
Yeah.
You know, at one point in time, you know, no one wants to use it. It was leaking so bad. It was run down. So we brought it back to life. So I appreciate myself for being a part of that.
I appreciate you did it too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to think about that if you were going to tell your great-grandson?
Well, I like to see them to take on my legacy when I go to the other side. I have two grandsons, and they're fairly young. And one of them has finished college, and the other one, you know, finished high school back in about a year or so ago. And I would like to see them continue to live here in Davidson. You know, take the legacy on, because, see, we're going to run out of black entrepreneurs here. We're going to run out.
Yeah.
And so I would love to see some type of program in this town to train those kids for tomorrow, because we're having so many young kids falling between the cracks. And we don't do anything about it. We don't know what's going to happen after we go to the other side. So I would love to see some type of program and to train them to start their own business. You know, and I'm sure the government, they could get some help from the government if they show faith and effort that they want to do it. And we have guys right in this town, like you said, they're willing to see this happen. You know, we want to see more. We don't have it. Right now, presently, we only have two black entrepreneurs. That's Ron Ray from the second. And I can see that, and, you know, increase.
Yeah. Davidson has had more in the past, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you want to keep that going.
Yeah.
Because it seems like your town is balanced when you have black business and white business working. You know, they'll work with us, we'll work with them. It just seems like it's balanced. And if you don't have that, you know, you just. It's just like it's a one-sided town.
Yeah. Are there any particular barriers that make this harder for young entrepreneurs in Davidson right now? Is it the cost of renting property, or, you know, have a place to run a business, or?
Well, and two is short of that, as far as running a business. See, I run my business out of my back. And we don't have a lot. And then it all depends on what business they go into. You know, you got to go into where that, you know, you could park your car, or they could walk to your shop. You got to look at that, too, as well. And it may be where that they can't afford to rent the building. You know, that could be a problem. But all that stuff you have to take into consideration when you go into a business. The renovation of the business, of the building, of the land.
Or whatever equipment you're going to have.
Yeah, right.
Honestly, the thought of buying a limo, I mean,
yeah,
even used, that's sort of...
Well, I tell you one thing, it wasn't easy. I tell the world that. It was hard, but I just kept the faith. You know, some days are dark and some days are light. But what you got to do, you got to take the sweet with the bitter, you know? And that's what make it come to reality. So I just want to see some young people to come and start doing something.
You too.
Wow.